I think there is still a certain residue of terror. Definitely, there's a little bit of fear, but I think there was one point in my career that I was so paralyzed with fear that I found it really hard to get on stage, and it really kind of paralyzed me a bit. But I decided down the line, I thought, well, I know I love singing. That's really my passion. And if I'm going to do it, I've got to overcome my fear. So it's a lot better now than it used to be. I'm a lot more relaxed.
Annie, I've got to ask you this. Like, you know, you're no stranger to the Grammy stage. What does the Grammys mean to you? What is, like, winning a Grammy, what does that do to somebody's career?
Okay, think what it does, basically. I mean, when you're in the studio and you're recording or writing your songs, you're not thinking about awards. That's the last thing on your mind. So down the line, eventually, if somebody nominates you for a kind of piece of recognition like that, it's nice. I have to say, it's very, very nice. And it's weird because it sort of coalesces everything. People that maybe didn't take you that seriously before, maybe they want to hear it again. Because they, oh, it's got that little bit of kudos or caliber or stamp. So I think the Grammys are significant, but at the same time, you know, musicians aren't sports people. This is not sports. This isn't competition. We all love music, and that's why we're here.
I have to ask you this. It's, you know, the Grammys are another amazing thing they do, is they put people together to perform together that you'd never think of. Like, you and Hozier, it's just so cool what they do.
I agree. I think that was a great piece of genius from Ken Ehrlich to put me and Hozier together. And it seems to work very nicely, and we're enjoying it.
You took me to church.
Thank you. Excellent.
Tell me a little bit about Nostalgia, the album.
Yeah, well, Nostalgia really is a labor of love for me. Because I'd never recorded in the jazz genre. And I was kind of curious to know, just at this stage in my life, I felt, I want to check that out. I want to see if I could do it. So it was a little piece of exploration on my part. And I fell in love with these 12 songs that are on that album. And they're all mainly from the 1930s, with the exception of I Put a Spell on You, which is 1956, Screaming Jay Hawkins. And it's just been a phenomenal experience recording this and then performing this. I have a PBS special coming out on the 13th of April that was a live performance from the Orpheum Theatre down the road in Hollywood Boulevard, Broadway. So it's just been wonderful, and I'm still enjoying it. It was this time last year that I approached the head of Blue Note Records, Don Was, to ask him, would you have a listen to my tracks? Because I would like to be on Blue Note. And he said, yeah, I'd love to have you. So a year later, we're at the Grammys. And it's a nice kind of full circle, really. A bit of advice for younger artists is, yes, oh my goodness gracious me. Well, it's bigger than you think it is. And it's very good if you can stay with good people around you and very grounded, and don't get ahead of yourself. Because what happens with young artists, if they get hugely successful is very quickly, is that it kind of goes to their ego, it goes to their heads, and I don't think that's going to happen with Kaya. But it can happen. And then they're just so out of reality, really, and they're surrounded by people that are sort of giving them, letting them be a little bit like spoiled children. That can happen, and that's not healthy. So if they stay grounded and realize, you know, that you have to be grateful to be there and not to pay in too much to the nonsense that will surround you and all that, that's very tough for a young person, I have to say.
Got to ask you this. You know, I was watching the rehearsals, and it was absolutely incredible. And after one of the times you guys performed, you both looked at each other and looked like you were both in awe of each other. Have you always been a fan of Hozier? Did you know who he was before this?
Him now, though, because I see his greatness. I see that he's a true inspirational artist who's coming from a very individual place. It's a unique viewpoint, and he's a poet, really, as well as a musician. And he's very calm. He's very consummate in his ability. And I really love that because, I mean, he is a young man in his early 20s. He's got a long way to go. So we sat down and had some great conversations. And, you know, I was able to sort of share some of my journey with him just to give some ideas to him about how to have sustainability in yourself, you know, because everybody's, like I say, wanting to have a piece of you. And it's very difficult when you have to be in Australia and Canada and America, you know, and you want it because you get your chance and you want to do it all, but you can get burnt out very quickly. So it's kind of like, I feel a bit maternalistic towards him.
Speaking of travels, when can we see you in Canada next?
I don't know. I'm not making big plans. I just take each day as it comes. And if opportunities present themselves and they feel appropriate to me, I'll follow through. But I'm certainly not chasing any sort of ambition or goals like that. I just want to be happy in my life. And making music is great still, and I'm loving that.